الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم. يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, English method, as per the command of our honorable illustrious Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, Hazrat says that make muzakara of one sunnah of Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before every bayan, so that the sunnahs of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can become alive in the ummah again. This beautiful poem the students rendered was also a poem written by one of Hazrat's Khalifa, and we will just translate it first, and from there we will see how important sunnats are. The first line, and these are actually the verses of Hazrat Damat Barakatum's poems himself. Ke naqsh qadam nabi ke sallallahu alaihi wasallam hai jannat ke raaste. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. Naqsh qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. What does it mean? Anyone who follows on the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he follows his life according to sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the road to jannat. Like somebody who follows the board from here to Nairobi, on the road, he'll come out in Nairobi. A person who follows the board that shows some other town, he will come out there in that town. So anyone who follows sunnats in his life will see he comes out in Jannah. And the other great benefit of Jannah is Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. A person who follows sunnats will be connected with Allah Rabbul Izzat himself. And once you are connected with Allah, you need no other connection in the world. You don't need anything. Once you have got Allah in your life, you have got everything. A poet says, Ek tu mera to har shay meri, zameen meri, asma mera. If you are mine, O Allah, everything is mine. The earth, the heavens are mine. Ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri. If you are not mine, nothing will be mine. So by following sunnats, we will get Allah also. اشاق اپنی کیف مسلسل کی جام لے کے جام لے. اگر سنت رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کو مضبوط تھام لے. The lovers of Allah, the ushaq. One is a lover, muhabba, a person who makes muhabbat. And one is an ashik, a great lover. And the lover of Allah Ta'ala, they are taking all the time kayfe musalsal. In other words, inside qualities which are continuous, they are enjoying. Allah Ta'ala Himself is such, kulla yawmin huwa fi sha'an. Allah then, Allama Alusi makes the tafsir of this, ay fi kulli waqtin min al-awqat, wa fi kulli lahzatin min al-lahzat. Every split second, Allah is in a different splendor. So the one who is connected with Allah through sunnah, you can get that, then you will be also in a different splendor all the time. There is no question of depression. There is no question of boredom. There is no question of tension, of stress, if you have made your connection with Allah. And one easy way is by sunnah. So those people who are connected with Allah, they are also all the time in a different splendor. In great joy they are all the time. Kayfe musalsal ki jam de. Agar sunnat rasool ko mazboot tham le. If you hold on to the sunnah very strongly. Not like a weathercock. Now we came to masjid or Ramzan, we are super Muslims. But when out of Ramzan, again we are dressing change. Then again our namazes are gone. No, mazboot is at arm there. Follow the sunnahs all the time. Not like a weathercock, sometimes this way, sometimes that way. No, all the time follow the sunnahs. Dene lage sadai saadat ke raaste. And then when you follow this, the roads of good fortune, the roads of wonderful enjoyment are calling you all the time. Come this way, come this way. When you are following the sunnahs, then you are enjoying inside. Outwardly you are called towards great success. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. Mit jaye dar fani ke ranj o alam bhi aaj. All this tension and worry and fear will all just be destroyed even today. Don't think that today now it's a very hard time. It's difficult. We are not doing what we are supposed to do. That's why we are finding these difficulties. Otherwise, all this ranj o alam, the sorrowfulness, this worry, this fear will just vanish. Like when you put the switch on, you don't have to chase the darkness away. Where the darkness vanishes, you don't know. What is it to put the switch on? Karle mujahada rahe haq me bhi aaj. If we make an effort, mujahada, we strive in the path of Allah Ta'ala. We make an effort to fight our nafs, and we don't go after fashion. We don't go after brand names. We don't go after the trend of society. That how they making weddings, we make weddings like that. How they build houses, we build houses. No, we follow sunnah. Go against your nafs, mujahada of the nafs. Do what Allah wants you to do, and you'll see all this worries and tension of the world will get destroyed. Kahan jaye hain shumar hid khul jaye hain shumar be shumar hidayat ke raaste. And then unlimited doors of hidayat will open to us. When Allah Ta'ala opens a person with hidayat, it isn't you just come on to sunnah. Allah Ta'ala will bless you with such knowledge, with such uloom, with such ma'arif, recognition of Allah, that will burst from your bosom. And you'll see in everything, you will see Allah Ta'ala. For example, you have your little baby in your hand, or your grandchild is a ni'mat of Allah, you appreciate it. But once you have gone this way, you will see the beautiful lips and you'll think, who made these two small little lips? Not only you'll enjoy that lips of the child, the two small little eyes, the two small little cheeks, the nose, how the fitting is so beautiful, your heart will go to, ya Allah, how great are you? How great is your qudrat? Your plate of biryani will come in front of you. You will not just want to eat it and say, mashallah, biryani, and enjoy. You will think the rice from where it has come, Pakistan, for example. And then the mutton, it has come from where again? The butter has come from Australia. Zafran has come from some other part of the world. And the potatoes from somewhere else. The peas from somewhere else. The spices from Zanzibar. From around the world, Allah gave you ni'mat in one plate. You will see Allah Ta'ala. Allah be shumar hidayat ke raaste kholte hai in everything. And وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. A person who has got this, Allah will open ways for you. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah will give you rosy from unknown sources. يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. Allah will forgive. What won't Allah open on you? And all this is following on the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah jalla jalaluhu se milatehe sunnat ke raaste. قلب و نظر بچائیں دار ہی برہائیں. Control your heart, don't think about other women. That is one big fitna of today, especially on the internet, going on to porn sites and all filth and dirt, and your eyes looking at other women all the time. Control. This is that mujahada. This is sunnat of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sunnat is not only big amama, nice big beard, and you are watching porn at night. Nobody knows, and now you are watching porn. On the roads, you're looking at other women. There is that the heart desires. Allah made it such. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا. That desire of evil, Allah has put it in man. The test is, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah has given you the means to control also. This is what is imtihan and test. If we had no desire like the farishta, there is no test for them. A test for insan. Allah put the desire. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذهب والفضة والخيل المصومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة. All these things of the dunya, beautiful woman, your lust and your desire to collect and amass wealth, to have big bank balances, to have lot of properties, to have beautiful motor cars, flashy motor cars, wonderful mansions. Allah made it desire of man, but don't acquire this with haram. Don't acquire it at the cost of your deen, that you're not making namazes. You're not looking at halal and haram. You're not looking at jais and najais. No, don't. Stay away. This is that mujahada. So control your eyes. Control your heart. Keep your beard properly. Keep a proper sunnat beard. Don't say that I don't have to show the world I'm a Muslim. So I keep my beard in my heart. In your heart you got enough problems. There is angina there. There are blocked arteries there. You got so many other problems, and you're putting the beard also still there. Take out the beard and put it where the beard is supposed to be. Take it out. Don't keep it in your heart. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali gave such a beautiful example. If Saudi Airlines after Hajj are landing here at Mombasa Airport, whole plane is full with Hajjis. Captain is also a Muslim from Saudi Arabia. And when they are landing, he announces that, see, the wheels we got in our aeroplane are the best in the world. No other airline got wheels like this. And we don't have to make a show of it. We don't want to show the people. So when we land, we'll keep the wheels inside. We won't take our wheels out. We want to have ikhlas, overdose of ikhlas, diarrhea of ikhlas. So all will say, please, Captain, keep your ikhlas for tahajjud. Or keep it for Makkah Sharif, but make riyah here. Take out the wheels, otherwise the whole plane and all of us will go up in flames. So don't keep your beard in your heart and say, I don't have to show the world that I'm a Muslim. The sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where it's supposed to be, keep it. And the beard also, keep the beard as is sunnah. To keep the beard is wajib according to all four mazhabs. And to the sunnat beard is the proper one, first length. And the first length is from under the chin here. Don't measure from here. Then it will be a very small beard. And don't measure, call your 2-year-old child and tell him, beta, come here, I want to trim my beard, so let me see if it's one first length. Small 2-year child, his first is so small. Then your beard will be very small. So it must be one first length from under the chin. And little bit extra for safety's sake. And then not only at the bottom, on the sides also it must be one first length. Allah shukar, our beards don't grow like this. Otherwise we should go to our wives, they should chase us away. You're looking like a wild animal or something. And comb your beard. Put oil, comb it and keep it neat and tidy. But it should be one first length. That is the length of the beard. The area of the beard which it has to cover. And I explained this, I take the little time and trouble to do it. When I heard and read that Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, if a person completely shaves his beard, is a guna, very big guna. And if a person makes his beard less than it's supposed to be by the amount of one grain rice, both gunas are equal. It is like he didn't keep a beard. Like for example, if you go for some visa application, passport, anything, and whole day you stood in the queue, very hot also, or it was raining, and when you come to the counter, they tell you this thing here was not right, rejected, go home. You can come back still tomorrow, but how the trouble? From the qabr, who will come back? If our beard is rejected in the qabr, you thought you kept a beard, but it was rejected in the qabr, what will happen? That's why I take this little trouble, because many of our friends do keep the beard, but not the full as required. It mustn't get rejected. And how many people came and say, Jazakallah, you told us. And you will appreciate, and the more you will appreciate when you will go in your qabr. We didn't know. Lucky Maulana, you came, you told us. We made our beard properly, and now we got accepted. We are not rejected. So the area it has to cover is from the front of the side burn. Dhari in Urdu, in Gujarati, is from dhar. Dhar is the lower jaw. In Arabic also, lahya. The beard is lahya. Lahya is from the lower jaw, is called lahya. So if you open your mouth, you can feel your lower jaw, where it is. All that area has to be covered. Easy to recognize it outwardly is from the front of your sideburn to your lip, where your lip is. This area here, below that, that is all for the beard must be kept. Sometimes we thrum and we go quite down, a pencil line get left. Sometimes it's a L shape we make. Sometimes we keep an Arab beard just here on the chin here. We keep a French beard. You can call it a beard, but it's not a beard. Like if if you got a motor car, one wheel is short, you can't drive with it. Your car is there, everything, but one wheel is short. One spark plug is not there, you can't drive. Everything has to be there. The beard also has to be right. So this is a full beard. What is on the cheek? Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that's not part of the beard. If you want to, you can remove what is on the cheek. And Hazrat should say, that remove, who is a married person, a young man, he should let it grow, it's safer. But a married man, he should remove what is on the cheek. Because our Shaykh should say, if your wife want to land a kiss on your cheek, but you covered it up, now where must she land? So leave the cheek so that she can kiss you there if she wants to kiss you there. So the beard must be, it's wajib to keep, and we should keep it the proper sunnah length of the beard, inshallah. Takhno se apne paijame upar uthaye, and keep your trousers above the ankles. And try and keep it so much above that a person doesn't have doubt the ankles are getting covered. In the riwayat of Muslim Sharif, amongst three types of sinners, one is a person who does a favor to somebody, but then ihsan jatana, mannan, I did this for you, I did that for you, that person. The person who keeps his trouser above his ankles. And if I remember correctly, the third one, who sells his goods with a false oath, that the goods are like this, but actually it's not like that. So for those people, four types of azab. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah won't look with mercy towards them. Allah will give them a severe punishment. And Allah will not make the tazkiyah of such people. The tazkiyah, purity. Allah won't purify them. Why? Because this guna is because of pride, that a person keeps his trouser below his ankle. And a person who's got pride is not prepared to accept what people tell him. And such a person's tazkiyah, his correction, a person got pride, doctor say you must take 2 tablets. He say, no doctor, I know better, I'm not taking 2 tablets. What's he going to get? Shifa. A person who is humble will get. And this brings humbleness in a person. When you see a person with his trouser above his leg, he looks like appealing. The humbleness comes in a person. And when your trouser is nicely right till by the heels of your shoes, then you feel like smart and I'm somebody big and that. So that pride comes, a person is not prepared to accept his cleanliness. خوش کیجئے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کو اطاعت کے راستے سے. Make نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم happy. How will you make نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم? By following in his footsteps. That is how نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, not by following the West, not by following the ways of the Hindus in weddings, the saris and the mehndi parties and all that, not following the ways of the Christians on the wedding day, the girl got a wedding gown like the Christians, etc. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't get happy with that. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam get happy when you follow according to his sunnahs. So your whole life, don't build your house like Fir'aun and Haman and Qarun. Make your life like the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Have simplicity in all your things, then you will make Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happy. اپناتے ہیں جو سیرت خیر الانام صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, those who bring the life and the sunnah of Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, who is خیر الانام, the best of Allah's creation. What the honor to follow in the footsteps of Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. کرتے ہیں جو سنتوں کا اہتمام, those who follow the sunnahs of حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, not by the way but they are conscious. I've seen our ustads, by mistake they came out from the toilet with the left leg, they went back again, they came out with the right leg. Every sunnah, what we will call small, insignificant, we don't think of it, but they made ihtimam. Ihtimam means to be particular, to have great thought about it, not just by the way, that when we feel like we make it, when we don't. For example, miswak sunnah, or every time make miswak sunnah, not just sometimes you make it, sometimes you don't make it. So the poet Hazrat says, the poet says there, کرتے ہیں جو سنتوں کا اہتمام تو از خود ہی بند ہو جاتے ہیں بدعت کے راستے. Then automatically the ways of bid'at and innovations get closed themselves. Remember that every time a wrong thing comes in, when there is a vacuum, when we stop tilawat of Quran Sharif in our homes, TVs came in our homes. Start reading Quran Sharif again. Read your surahs after Maghrib. Tabarakalladhi, Alif Lam Mim Sajda. You won't have time to look at TV. It will be closed for 2 weeks, 2 months. Then you'll say it's for nothing yet. Take it out of the house. But if you're not reading Surah Tabarakalladhi, Alif Lam Mim Sajda, you're not reading Awwabin, you're not reading your duas, what to do now? Watch TV? What else? So follow the sunnahs, follow deen. The things which are against deen will automatically go out of your life. You won't have to take them out. They'll go out of your life. تو از خود ہی بند ہو جاتے ہیں بدعت کے راستے, نقش قدم نبی کے ہے جنت کے راستے, اللہ سے ملاتے ہیں سنت کے راستے. May Allah bless us with these realities, inshallah. Let it not only be words which are spoken and words which are heard, but may listen to it with the niyat of amal. If we make, I promise you, if you make and now make consciously, that we will make amal on what we are hearing, Allah will open your heart for it. We don't make the niyat, we just came to listen to bayan. So you only listen. If we listen for sawab, we will get sawab. If we listen to pass time will pass. But if we listen with the niyat of amal, then لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى, a person gets what he made niyat for. So if we make niyat of amal, Allah will give us tawfiq of amal. Generally we don't make niyat of amal. We just went, bayan is there. Announcement was made. We went, we listened to the bayan. We didn't make niyat of amal. And niyat is very, very important. I'll digress a little bit. See, there are many of us, alhamdulillah, who still read Quran Sharif. But most of us who read Quran Sharif, no niyat. We take the Quran, we open it, we start reading. What I usually read, quarter supara, half supara, one supara, I read it, I close the Quran Sharif, finish. No niyat. Ibn Kasir rahmatullah ali has mentioned up to 20-21 niyats a person can make when reading Quran Sharif. You're reading every day, for example, one supara. If you make 21 niyat, it is like you read 21 suparas. Your work will be still the same, only one supara. But you'll get the sawab of reading 21 suparas. Coming to the masjid, the author of Mazahir-e-Haq, the commentary of Mishkat Sharif, has written a person can make up to 15 niyats. So we all came to masjid today. Most of us, no niyat. We just came, well, masjid today, bayan, it's namaz time, we're going to the masjid. If we made those niyats, for example, 15, it's like we came 15 times for Isha. So lot sawab Allah Ta'ala will give us. So niyat is very, very important. If we make niyat now also of etikaf, those who didn't make. And while we're just sitting, some of us might doze off also while we're listening to the bayan. But you make niyat of etikaf, even while you're sleeping, you'll get sawab also. A mu'takif, when he's sleeping also, he's getting sawab. And if we make niyat of amal now for the bayan, Allah will give us tawfiq of the amal. May Allah Ta'ala bless us. All of us make niyat, inshallah. The ayats of the Quran Sharif I've read, the actual subject is وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And the surah is وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا in the 30th supara. And Mufassirin have written the most qasams Allah has taken in the whole Quran in one place is in this surah. And the question first arises, what is the need for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to take qasam? Allah ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Who can say a truer word than Allah ta'ala? Allah is haqqul mubin, who makes bayan, manifest the truth. Why must Allah ta'ala take a qasam? Just imagine, think of it carefully, how much Allah loves His creation, that to convince them, like a mother is advising her daughter about something, and she says, my daughter, Beti, I take qasam and I'm telling you this, please, those people are not good, don't keep contact with them. The love she has got, a father is advising his son, my son, I'm telling you, I take qasam, I take 100 qasams and I tell you, don't go to that place, it's bad for you, your future will get destroyed. How Allah wants to convince us and give us a message. Allah, the most qasams in the whole Quran, Allah has taken here. Up to 15, 18 qasams to tell us one subject. And what striking qasams also. Not just this or that. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. Two complete opposite things, the sun and the moon. The qasams of them. And then again, وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَخْشَى. The day and night. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا. The skies and the earth. Six completely contrasting, and each of them has got even more qasams in them. All this Allah has taken to come to the seventh qasam, which Allah takes now, not in a pair. Those were all two, two, two. Yeah, only one. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. And this nafs, this body of us, and how Allah made it balanced. Hey, Allah is taking qasam. And Allah only takes qasam of His great, great creations. This human body, human being, is one of the greatest creations of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have made man in the most beautiful forms. How beautiful has not Allah Ta'ala made man? Every human being, we might say this person is ugly, he's not, but he is the most beautiful. Human being is the, then there are differences between them. Some of them are more beautiful, less beautiful, but every human being is beautiful. In the time of Harun al-Rashid in Baghdad, one of his ministers, and Baghdad was an extremely beautiful city. We haven't seen such beauty in these times, how a city is beautiful. And his mansion, his gardens, sprawling gardens. He was sitting in the 14th full moon, like the minister, with his wife in the gardens and making love to her. And sometimes what comes in the head, we don't know. And in the love making, not in anger, no fight, in love making, he told his wife that if you are not as beautiful as the 14th full moon, talaq on you, three talaqs on you. She was also an alima, she knew the Messiah. She said, where can I be more beautiful than the 14th full moon? Poets of the East and the West, poet, modern and ancient poor poets have all used the moon as a symbol of great beauty. So she went in parda, I'm divorced. And he was terribly sorry. What did I do? How could I say such a thing? In the morning he went to Khalifa Harun al-Rashid. Then he called, summons the ulama, that what is the masala? Everyone said, that talaq has taken place. A student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was present. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi had a habit, he wouldn't speak. Only when he's asked particularly, then he will give his opinion. So the student, also like his ustad, was not speaking. The Khalifa asked him, what do you say? He said, no talaq is fallen. All the ulama was stunned. It is clear, he said, that three times, if you are not, and who can be as beautiful as the moon? So then they asked him, how come you say no talaq? He said, Allah says in the Quran Sharif, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. The most beautiful of all my creation I've made is insan. So Allah is saying that whoever, any insan is even more beautiful than the 14th full moon. All had to accept. That is Imam Abu Hanifa rahmat. We don't know what a great Imam Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. Follow him and follow him strongly and properly. Well, Allah has blessed us with a very great Imam. So anyway, so Allah Ta'ala said, وَنَفْسِيُمْ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. And that this insan we have made, and how balanced we have made insan. So I'll just give a few examples for us to see Allah. For example, your blood pressure must be 120 over 80. That's perfect. That's very good. Now if it's out of balance, then you got a problem. You, Allah save us, you'll get a stroke, you'll get a heart attack. Brain hemorrhage you will get. Your sugar, the best, 5.4 around there. Now your sugar is gone out of balance, you got a problem. Anything, cholesterol, it must be 3.84, whatever it must be. It's gone out of balance, you got a problem. Everything has to be balanced. Those are inside things. Then your akhlaq must be balanced. Where you have to get angry, you must get angry. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has written, a person who never gets angry is a donkey. That way you have to, somebody is interfering with your wife and you're smiling. You're a donkey, you're worse than a donkey also, they use. Hey, at that time you have to get angry. You tell that person, what you think of yourself? How can you be speaking to my wife? How can you be looking at her like that, staring at her like that? That's a place to get angry. And a person who gets angry and his anger doesn't go away is a shaitan. So when anger comes also, where it's necessary. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, if India and Pakistan are at war, and Pakistani soldier comes and is fighting the Indian soldier, and he tells him, "Main haqir, faqir, Abdul Qadir, larne ko aaya." That me humble, useless, I came to fight with you. There you can't be humbleness there. There it's even jais to keep big mustache to put fear. Otherwise, don't keep mustache. Remove the mustache is sunnah. But for warfare, then it is jais also to put fear in that person. And then tell him, you'll see what I'll do with you. There don't show your humbleness. So you must know where your anger must come out. Don't go and take it out on your poor wife. Humble. She gave her whole life to you. She put her father's kalija, heart, mother's kalija, they put it on a plate for you. And now you go and destroy it and use it and you show your anger there to her. That is not a man. That is a coward. Hey, that the poor young, your students, your children, and you take out all your anger. And anger is a very shrewd thing. Hey, in front of a strong person, like a person, for example, is fighting with his wife. I mean, he's fighting and he tells her, I'll make mincemeat out of you today. I'll make kachumar out of you. Suddenly, somebody knocks at the door. He peeps from the window. Oh, it's his brother-in-law. And brother-in-law is in the military. And he's with military uniform. And he got his firearms also with him. Now, suddenly, his anger is gone. He tells his wife, just forget everything. You know, we best friends and we all right. So anger in front of somebody weak, then you show your anger. And this is like, for example, you're fighting somebody, you are showing your anger. You say, please hold me, otherwise I'll kill him. You can't do anything, you know you're useless. You'll pick up your leg, you'll fall down yourself. But you say that, just hold me back. So anger is very, very shrewd. And it's a person who takes out his anger on his wife, on his children, is a coward, that person. And when in front of the police, then no anger. Then you are humble. So we should be careful of that. So anyway, balance in everything. Similarly, in our body, Allah has made us so balanced. For example, if the one eye was big and the other eye was like a small pimple, how should we look? If the one ear was like the ear of an elephant, big fan, and the other ear is one small pimple. If our nostrils, one was big, one was small, everything, one leg if it was 1 meter, and the other leg 1 foot, 12 inches of hopping and walking, we should go, how وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, how balanced Allah Ta'ala has made us. And Allahu Akbar, just think of Allah Ta'ala's qudrat. When a baby is born, no teeth in the mouth, because it hasn't got anything to eat. Then the milk teeth comes, and the baby has to drink on the breast of the mother. If the teeth right from the beginning, sometimes some babies, the one teeth comes out early. And if it has to bite on the breast of the mother, how lot it pains her. But she has so much love for her child, she overlooks it immediately. So at the beginning, no teeth. Then the milk teeth come. Afterwards, the actual teeth come. And they only grow to a certain level and they stop there. If we were planning and we made human and we think that I made my child. You didn't make your child. Who can make a child? What do you know about eyes and what do you know about brains that you made your child? You don't know about your own eyes. You don't know about your own brains. What did you make? But anyway, if we think and we should have made a child, we should have perhaps done this, that when the child is 1 year old, his tooth would be 1 millimeter. 10 years old, 10 millimeters, 1 centimeter. 20, 25, 2.5 centimeters. And that's normally the age of getting married also, 20, 25. Now at that age, if your top tooth was 2.5 centimeters, 1 inch, and your bottom tooth is 1 inch also, and when you get married, to see the girl is sunnat also, just have a look at her. Now with so big teeth, when she'll see you coming in the room to see her, she'll think there is a bulldozer, there is that earth moving machine, she'll run out from the other door, who my mother, father are getting me married to? To some bulldozer. But no so big problem, her teeth should be also so big. And at that time, the two smile also a bit with one another. And with that big teeth, they are smiling. Nobody should want to get married also. And if Nani Ma, 80 years old, and Nana Baji, with 8 inches big teeth, and they love their grandchildren and they want to hug them and they want to kiss them. Like that also, small children run from the grandparents. They want to play their games. They haven't got time with old people. And with big teeth like this, they'll think my grandfather want to eat me up. They won't even come near us. Whose qudrat is it? That your teeth come to one level and then they don't grow ever again. And if we eat the right food and we do our dental hygiene properly, your teeth will be like pearls in your mouth. Beautiful. You won't have to go with the children for braces. What is braces? Burglar bars. That crime is so much that you have to put burglar bars on the teeth also. Otherwise the people will even steal the teeth from the mouth. You won't need any of these things. Allah will keep it properly. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. Then Allah says about this nafs, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. We have put in this nafs the desire of evil also. And we have given him the power to stay away from evil also. So this is the imtihan. One time, where I was previously in South Africa, the Mutawalli, we were sitting in one little meeting we had like, and he was a very jolly person, very good, pious person, Allah grant all Jannat. He said that he must have been about 50, 55 years old that time. He said, till today, I never got a ticket, traffic ticket for speeding, seat belt, indicators, parking, nothing, not one. We always surprised. Everyone makes a mistake somewhere. You pick up a ticket somewhere, something you do wrong. He said, no ticket. So we all looked baffled. He said, I never drove a car in my life. So if you never drove a car, how are you going to get a ticket? So the same way, if you can't commit guna, what achievement have you done? If you can commit guna and you didn't commit guna, that's an achievement. But like you go to the qabristan, all the people in the qubur, you say, oh, mashallah, what muttaqi people. Not one guna they make. They can't make guna. But to tell a farishta angel that he's a wali of Allah is not jais also. Because a farishta and angel cannot commit guna. If the most beautiful hurul in have to come and sit in the lap of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he won't know it's a stone or it's a wood. and no movement will come in any part of his body also. He's got no feeling whatsoever. Eh? A person who's got desire and he stays away from guna. If your car only got brakes, no accelerator, what you going to drive? Eh? And if it's only got an accelerator and no brakes, you're in trouble. Eh? Where you have to take a curb, where there is traffic, where is a traffic hazard, you need your brakes also. So Allah gave us the accelerator also, and to everything your desires, what you want to eat, you want woman, Allah gave you hajjaj, halal woman, but when it's a haram woman, sharp brakes. And the Sahaba had that quality. كَانَ وَقَّافًا عِنْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ سَيْدَنَا عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Whenever haram would come, sharp brakes. You are driving clear road, good car, 120, 180. Hey, you are driving. But the minute is a traffic hazard, your brakes must be on. So you're looking around, Allah's Qudrat, mountains, seas, you are on the beach. The minute you see some haram, sharp brakes. Close your eyes. Turn away. Don't look anymore. And one time there was a Maulana in Bulawayo in Zimbabwe. Maulana Bahadur Sahab, marhum. Very, very nice person. He told me one time the people who make cars learn from the Quran Sharif how to make cars. So I said, Maulana, where is that in the Quran? I got no indication anywhere. He said, didn't you read the ayat of the Quran? Kullil mu'mineen yaghuddu min absari. Tell to the believers, they must dip their eyes. So he says, like your car got bright lights. And it's going, and the front car also got bright lights. If they don't dip their lights, you get dazzled. Then you can make an accident, 5-10 people can die there, you don't know. A person who is drunk, and many people drink and drive, they are drunk, and when the car come with two lights, they think there are two cars coming now to me. Now what must I do? Now he's drunk. He thinks I'll go exactly in the middle of them. And he makes a head-on collision. He's only one car with two lights, he thinks it's two cars, and I'll go between the two lights. He goes and make a head-on collision. So anyway, if you got your bright lights on, the front car got bright lights on, easy way, dip your lights, the two cars will pass nicely from one another. Same way, you got your bright lights on, your eyes, you're looking around, and a woman comes now, and she also got her bright lights on, also looking for men to look at men. You also want to look at women, you'll make an accident. So what did Allah say? Just dip your lights. She dips her lights, you dip your, and Allah didn't say close your eyes. If you close your eyes, maybe there's a brick or stone, she falls and maybe you fall on her. Hey, that is even completely opposite what was supposed to be done. So don't close your eyes, just dip them, see that you check. What Quran Sharif is Quran Sharif, Kalamullah. So anyway, so this nafs Allah has made it, and for alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwa. The desire for haram also Allah has put. There are many things which are haram in our eating also today, and the enemy of Islam, we don't know where and where they have put haram. We should be careful. So you want to eat it, but check, am I eating right or eating the wrong things? Whatever you want to wear clothes, how many people wear this with the Nike sign? With the tick or N-I-K-E, Nike or Nike, however. This is actually a Greek goddess of success. A Greek goddess, it's an idol of the Greeks for success. They believe in all types of idols, and that is why you will find it mostly on sportswear. That you wear that, you will win. You will be successful. It's haram to wear that. And how many of us, we don't know, because we don't know. It's on our shoes, the children, on good people, ulama, they don't know. On their clothing also it is. Sometimes in winter, yeah, you don't have that winter, but the warm hats the people wear, there's a Nike sign on there. And you are making namaz, and you are, one time in South Africa, before there was one place, I used to go for Jummah there. And very few people should go, the Muslims had moved out with the apartheid laws, etc. So one Jummah I made bayan on clothes. One Musalli came to me, he said, Maulana, please repeat your bayan next week again. So I asked why. So he says that one person, because there are few people, shops they had there, nobody stays there. So on a Saturday for Zuhr Namaz, no fixed imam also, because there isn't any Musallis regular. So one person who made imamat, he made imamat with a t-shirt and jeans. And on the t-shirt at the back, a naked woman's picture. And he's making imamat like that. Not even wearing a jubba or anything, just like that. So when we don't think, we don't know where we read. We got the goddess, the Greek goddess. The tie is a symbol of the cross, according to Encyclopedia Britannica. Not our word, Encyclopedia Britannica. So we wear the tie, as if we also believing. The cross, all those people who wear it, the cross, women wear the cross, men got it, in the cars they hang it, that we believe that, na'uzubillah, Jesus, Isa alayhi salam was crucified on the cross. And when we wear the tie, we are doing the same thing. And how many of us namaz we read with the tie also? And so all, we have to be careful of all these things. So the desire for all to be in fashion, to have brand names, latest this, latest that, to be in style in everything, weddings in style, this in style, everything we want the style, but then we are doing wrong. So at that time when it's haram against the commands of Allah, put sharp breaks, use your breaks also. So Allah gave both things. And also many people feel I'm finished, especially those who become bad and now they want to correct their lives, they want to make the Islah, the letters come that I'm the worst, I got the worst desire. Remember, listen to my words carefully. The desire of guna is not guna. And the desire of guna is not haram. That's a natural thing. Allah has put it in you. To act on that desire is haram. To fulfill that desire is haram. To have the desire of haram is... And our Shaykh, rahmatullah alayh, jazahumullah khair, told me once, don't even make that dua that the desire of guna must go out of you. Because if you got no desire of guna, you can't become a wali. Wali, that person is who got the desire of guna, but he does not commit the guna. And the more you got the desire of guna, many people feel, I got too much lust of me, in me, too much vuma, too much lust I got, and I can never make it to be. The more lust and desire you got, but you don't act on it, you become a bigger one. The person who has got less, who got no desire, that person won't become such a big wali. The bigger wali is that person who gets the bigger test. A grade 1 child can't get matric certificate. The person who writes matric, a matric student can't get a PhD. The person there, so those people who have bigger desire, bigger lust, but they don't act on, and it's possible. Some of us think it's impossible. Today's world, wherever you see, just women everywhere, temptations, billboards, how the women are dressed, etc., porn sites, internet, on the cell phone all the time. It's not impossible. And wallah, I say, how many we get letters from our murids, etc., muridnis, girls, young girls, people in what places of life they are working, but how they protect themselves. They say we have the desire, we feel we're going to slip, and please make dua. It's a dangerous environment we are living in. One professor of a university, we know how university girls dress, what's the university environment. One person who is working in a laboratory, and the girls also come for their tests, etc., and how they are dressed also, and how they tempt, they make passes, they invite him also, a young person, handsome young person, but how he protects himself. It is possible. It's not if it was impossible, Allah should not give us the duty. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Only Allah gives us that duty which we can do, otherwise na'uzu billah, it will be zulm from Allah. That what we cannot do, he made us responsible for. We can, but choose the right way. So Allah Ta'ala has made this. Wa nafsin wa ma sawwaha fa alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha. Then Allah declares, qad aflaha man zakkaha wa qad khaba man dassaha. That person has become 100% successful. Man zakkaha, who got tazkiyah, who controls his nafs, and he keeps his nafs. You got a BMW, latest model, top of the range. It can go from 1 to 115 in 10 seconds. But you can control it, no problem. You bought that BMW, you brought it home. Your young son of 15 years very eager to drive. He got the chance, he took the key and he's gone with the BM. And he's pushing it. And he can't control it on a bend or anywhere. And there he kills himself. He kills other people also and he smashes the whole. So your nafs, it can do fantastic things. But learn to control it. If you can't control it, your nafs controls you. Then you are in big trouble. If you are controlling the nafs, this nafs, if you make the tazkiyah and you control it, your position can go, ordinary people's position go higher than the ordinary malaika. And special people, ulama, sulaha, they control their nafs, they go higher than the special malaika also. This nafs Allah has given us, you can soar the skies with it. Or otherwise, you can sink in the ground with it if you don't control it. So we have to learn to control it. Then Allah gives one practical example of the people who didn't control their nafs. كذبت ثمود بطغواها إذ انبعث أشقاها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها فكذبوه فأقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها. The people of Thamud who didn't make their tazkiyah, their nafs was ghali, pride. We are this, we do this, we don't have to listen to Allah. When Allah's Nabi repeatedly gave them da'wah, they say from this mountain in front of our eyes, we want to see a she camel pregnant come out. Allah gave it that they will bring it, but they فكذبوه, they falsified, they did not believe. And not only that, they had the great audacity, if we don't make our tazkiyah, the worst gunas we can think of, drugs, womanizing, gambling, will be like a picnic. It will mean nothing to us. We will just carry on making our gunas. We won't even have the conscience. We won't feel guilty. These people went to the extent that it was naqatullah. It was the miracle of Allah Ta'ala, and they killed it. They had that great audacity. Then Allah fa'akharuha fadamdama alayhim rabbuhum bidhambihim. Allah sent, make damdama. Send, he pounded them with his azab. And when a person reaches that condition, wala yakhafu uqbaha. There are two tafsir that Allah doesn't care what happens to them. Today what is happening to the Muslims in the world? Is Allah not alive? Is that, are the things not in the control of Allah? What is happening to babies? How babies are being killed? How women are being treated, how old people are being treated. Is Allah not seeing? Our gunas brings this upon us. And then, وَلَا يَخَافُ أُقْبَاهَا. What happens to them? Allah says, I don't care. The other tafsir is, a person who becomes like that, and is still laughing. All the gunas, and what azab of Allah. The tsunami comes, and you are busy making videos about it. You don't take a lesson from it. Volcanoes, and you are more worried. People, you can see them dying, and reporters are busy videoing and busy giving reports on it. But your Muslim brother or your human brother is dying. You got no feeling. Wala yakhafu ukba. If a person doesn't make the skia of his nafs, to make namaz is not enough. To become an alim is not enough. To go in jamaat is not enough. Very important to get control of our nafs. Otherwise, this nafs is such. How many cases a husband gives his wife divorce on small matters, and then he suffers the consequences forever. Either he has to go and make halala, or without halala he knows I mean haram, and he carries on living with his wife because tazkiyah was not made. You don't even worry about the commands of Allah, and whole life you live in zina after that. With your wife you're living in zina. What a sad case. All because tazkiyah is not made. Therefore, this is a very important department of deen. One shoba which Quran, very many places has showed it as a separate department. To learn in the maktab is very important. To go to Darul Uloom is very important. To go in Tabligh Jamaat is very important and so beneficial, and how lot of good comes from it. And at the same time, to make tazkiyah of your nafs is also one important department. Like for example, you want to build your house. And you say that I only need a lounge, I need a bedroom, kitchen. I don't need a toilet, very dirty, I don't want it in my house. The house is not complete. You have to have a toilet. You say, I don't want a kitchen in my house. You have to, all the things. Or when you people come in work, you say, I don't want plumber here. He comes and break everything and all, he puts the pipes there. Without a plumber, your house is not complete. The electrician, I don't want him to come. He chops and chisels and puts his pipes in there. You need a, everything. So all departments of deen, then you'll get a proper, complete deen. So this is also one great important department of deen, which is also very important. May Allah put it in our hearts to understand, make our tazkiyah, and for that we need a guide. You cannot do it on your own. When you want to build a house, you need a plumber. You don't just see somebody walking on the street, come, you do plumbing job. Somebody else, you come in, you do it, a person who is qualified for that. So say, and you can't do it yourself. What you know about plumbing? What you know about electricity? You need a person who knows. So just like that, for our tazkiyah, we need a person who is called a sheikh. Sheikh al-tariqah. We need a person who is a muslih, who is a muzakki, who will be able to correct our lives. They are present. Look for them. Who you have munasabat with, who your heart agrees with, become bad to that person. Make your tazkiyah, and wallah, I say, you will see your life is a different life. You will still be eating the same food, living in the same house with your same wife, but it will be a different world for you. What enjoyment and pleasure you will get, and what Allah will open for you. May Allah give us all tawfiq. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Oh Allah, accept the completion of the hifz of this little child. Oh Allah, make it an inspiration for all of us, for the whole ummah. Accept it from him, accept it from his parents, oh Allah. Accept it from the madrasa and his ustads, oh Allah. The principal of the madrasa, all who are contributing and take a part and interest in this madrasa, accept it on behalf of them all. Accept it on behalf of the whole ummah, oh Allah. Oh Allah, this is a miracle that took place in front of our eyes. A young boy of about 10-12 years who has memorized the whole Quran. If this is not a miracle, then what else is it? And in front of our eyes we are witnessing this miracle. Let us see your qudrat. Let us not be like the people of Thamud who saw with their eyes the miracle of the camel coming from the mountain. We are also seeing this miracle. Let us take heed. Let us, when this boy could become Hafiz, let us become good Muslims. Let us fulfill your commands. The Quran Sharif of about 800 pages, he has learnt it off by heart. Can't, O Allah, make it that we fulfill your commands, O Allah. Accept us all for your deen. Give us all the goodness of deen, dunya and akhirat, O Allah. Make our islah completely and fully, O Allah. O Allah, let every department of deen be alive, O Allah. O Allah, O Allah, that our masajid must be alive with amali masajid, O Allah. Our makatib and our madaris, O Allah. Our darul ulums, O Allah. Our tabligh jamaat, O Allah. O Allah, every aspect of deen, our social and welfare work, O Allah. Every part and department of deen, make it alive and let it be vibrant and awake, and make the whole of deen alive in the whole world, except from all of us, O Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka antat tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.